touching on a little bit that we talked about this morning. He's going to read a few verses from Mark chapter 11. Got your Bible? Mark chapter 11. This is a story after Jesus did some interesting things with the fig tree. We start reading from verse 22. Mark 11, we start reading from 22. The scripture says, Jesus replied, obviously in response to what the disciples were saying. He said, let the faith of God be in you. Let the faith of God be in you. Probably this is one of the scriptures that significantly impacted the ministry of Steve Smith Wigglesworth as far as the ministering in power and faith. In his understanding and interpretation of this scripture, it propelled him to do everything we read about Smith Wigglesworth. So it's quite a handy thing to have inside of you. Faith. So how you understand or translate this would vary. Some theologians translate this as let the faith of God be in you, or let your faith in God. And when you look at your different translations, you're going to probably find faith variations, your faith in God or the faith of God. I don't know whether to you it quantifies to be the same thing. So those ones that look at faith as the faith of God, they are looking at faith in two places. There is a natural faith we have, and there is a faith which is a gift from God. So a natural faith is a kind of faith where you go to the supermarket, you buy a packet of sugar. Those of us that buy sugar, it's in a home where I come from. It's usually in a plastic, not a plastic, in a paper bag. So what you see is the writing and the advertisements on the outside, but you never actually get to see the sugar inside. So it takes a lot of faith to believe, give people your hard-earned cash, and assume that what the paper says outside is actually what is inside. What I'm trying to say is each one of us, we do have faith. Because none of us has ever gone to a shopping supermarket, ever bought thing, and opened the pack of anything you bought to cross-check and make sure that what it says on the cover is what is actually inside.
I always check the eggs.
No. Which brings me to the second point, because the first time you didn't check, you went home, the eggs were bad. So that kind of betrayed your faith, that the natural faith you had in that area becomes questionable. That makes sense? So you're just doing the right thing your confidence has taught you. It's the same thing when you go to McDonald's. You don't take those kids on face value. They'll give you a 24-pack and there is 19 inside. I go to Africa, I get money out of an ATM. I don't trust whatever the ATM said. I got to count it myself to just to verify that that 200 kwacha is 200 kwacha. Yeah. Who knows what those people do with those. Last time we were in Africa, go to an ATM, they put them in there. You know, ATM, I've got a back door where the guy that actually restocks the money gets in. And then I'm sitting there, I see those ATM people go inside the ATM at the back. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to put my card in that machine with that person in there. In my account, and as he's shuffling out, he pulls some out. Who knows what they'll do? Anyway, let the faith of God be in you. So whichever way we want to look at it, whether we're looking at faith as a gift from God or your trust in God, at some point, one of those, it has to be somewhere in us. All right? So now that we've done the faith of God or faith in us, 23, Jesus says, listen to the truth I speak to you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. Those of us that do King James Version, this is where we say, verily, verily. That means it really means it. Verily, verily. Or listen to the truth I speak to you. Following, if someone, okay, it doesn't matter who, just someone. If someone says to this mountain, with great faith and having no doubt, mountain, be lifted up and thrown in the midst of the sea. Following, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. If anyone says to this mountain, mountain, be lifted up and be moved in that sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. This guy, whoever this person is, just walked in an area of miracles, signs and wonders, all by what comes out of his mouth. He just moved the whole mountain with just believing. He just moved the whole mountain just by having the faith of God. Having the faith of God and leave God out of it. Did you just get him? God is not even involved. It's just you and your words and what you believe. What I love about the Word of God, it is open and available to everyone and for everyone that will choose to act upon it. We said earlier that faith is acting on the word of God. Most times we say we believe, but we don't actually act on the word of God. They can never be believing without acting on it. So most of the things we have, they are not faith, they are hope. Hope allows us to look at it from a distance, admire it, cherish it, and wish we had it. Faith draws us in, engages us, involves us, and brings us to a place of acting upon what we believe and what we've seen. So if we're talking about having faith in God, what is it that he said? And whatever it is he said, like a little child, begin to act on it. Begin to act on it. Paul puts it this way: be imitators of Christ. Be mimes. Imitate him. So when we begin to imitate, we are acting up according to him. This is the only place where you are allowed to act up and act out. That you read the word of God and begin to act out. Hear the word of God and begin to act up. That actually, the word of God you hear, the word of God you read, is meant to draw you to a place of acting up. It is when we begin to act upon the word that it becomes truth and reality that manifests in our lives. Why is that? Faith has to be activated. Faith is action activated. Have you been in a shopping mall or those places where there's those automatic doors? And somehow if you come in from an angle where it doesn't sense you, it doesn't open, what do? You realign yourself to a position where the sensor picks your presence up. You action activates the sensor to open up. Faith is like that. Now, the thing about faith, it's not biased. It does not have any prejudice. He just says, if anyone, he doesn't care who, if anyone. The greater part is in your action and response, says to this mountain. Okay, we talked about this over the week, that creation is designed to respond to the words. Okay, so when I said everything in creation, literally everything, including the mountain. I know you can say the mountain here really means something really impossible. Yeah, it doesn't matter what rationale you have about this mountain, you just gotta move. Okay? So, funny enough, whichever translation we have, whether it is an absolutely impossible situation we are going through, we are experiencing, we are facing, the only way it's going to move is if you speak to it. Now, here's something incredible I want you to understand. All right? What an incredible part we're going to understand here? You got to believe that what you've said has happened. For this reason I urge you to boldly believe that you have received it and it is yours. Amen. So when have you received this thing? When you said it. Most often we confuse God answering our prayers with the manifestation of the answer. The general idea is you have to believe that you've received it, not because you've seen it, but because you said it. Because the arrangement here is when you say it, it will be done. So it is done once you've said it. Once you've said it, it is done. Whether you've seen the answer or not, whether you've seen the manifestation or not, whether you've seen it physically or not, that is inconsequential. What is of great paramount is that you have said it, and what you said is so. So, in that way of thinking, that Smith Wigglesworth would say, faith is only praying once, the second time it is doubt and unbelief. That is Smith Wigglesworth. He believed you got to pray for something how many times? Once. That's faith. You pray about the same thing the second time, it's what? Unbelief and doubt. So in our thinking and feeling, we think God is answers the prayer when we've seen the manifestation. You see, when did Jesus curse this fig tree, the chapters before? Did they see any result then? It was later on, that's when they saw the effect. So according to the disciples, the fig tree died when they saw it dead. According to Jesus, it died when he said it. Are you understanding? When did the fig tree die? When he saw it. When he said it, sorry. When did God begin to change your situation? When you said it. When you spoke it, when you released the word, God started changing your story. God started attending to it. God started moving things. Isn't it the same thing in Daniel where God says, from the first day you set your heart to pray, God heard you and he sent the angel. So here's what I want to encourage us. Most often the distance between when we release the word and when we actually receive the manifestation of what we prayed for, that gap depending on our understanding. We'd either grow in praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving, or discouragement and belief and whatever else that comes with it. And this is why the scripture tells us that we do not walk by sight. So since when did seeing the manifestation of the answers of your prayer become a measure for God's answer to your prayer? We believe because he said it, not because we saw it. So if any man, woman, boy, girl, says to this mountain, it's funny. For some reason, it doesn't say if any man prays to God and asks God to move this mountain. Moving mountains is not God's job. Moving mountains is your job. Yeah. Whose job is it to move mountains? Your job. And how do mountains begin to move? Say something. Speak to the mountain. Isn't that Zechariah 4? Oh, you great mountain, what are you before Zerubbabel? He's actually addressing the mountain. Remember that verse? What are you, oh great mountain? Maybe we should learn that little line as well. Go mountain. And say, hey, mountain, where are you? Before me. I'll take this top stone and bring it down. You see how specific he is with the instructions he's giving to the mountain? You see, the mountains in your life would love to obey you. You're just giving confused instruction. They don't know how to respond. Because what they heard you say a minute ago is very different to what you are saying 2 minutes later. So, if you believe that what you say, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm adequately expressing the heart of. If you believe that what you say, not what God said, what you say is so. If you believe that what you say is so, it will be done. If you believe that what you say is so, it will be done. Because like we said, what you say is spirit. Your words are spirit. And your spoken words release life. And depending on what we say, they can also release death. Your spoken words can release freedom. Your spoken words can also release bondage. It's amazing how many of us are bound by the words we've spoken. It's amazing how often we bind nations, people, by the words we've spoken. And this is why Jesus says, say good things about people. And about your enemies, say what? Nothing. Say what about your enemies? Nothing. Because he knows you've got nothing nice to say about people you don't like. So the moment you say something about people you're offended with, what you're going to say is going to bring enslavement. So instead of releasing enslavement, shut up, say nothing. How about your enemy? Say nothing. Say nothing. So, what if we begin to take our words seriously and come to a place where we actually believed that what we say is so, and heaven would act on it? What would we begin to speak? What would we begin to say? What would we begin to release? What if you believed that what you call your kids they're gonna be? What will you begin to call them? We've gone through it over and over. That you look at the names in the Bible, each one of them behaved, lived, and became their name. And when God changed their name, he reordered their destiny. We talked about Miriam. How terrible is that? They called him Moses, drawn from the water. And the majority of his miracles had to do with water. Water out of a rock, water out of this, water, split water, and water and water. The words we speak are life. And this is why the scripture says the power of life and death is where? Under your tongue. So this man is saying, listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to these mountains with great faith and having no doubt, okay, what often is our issue? Doubt. Unbelief. We are not fully convinced. You see, doubt and belief is questioning God's character. When we doubt, we are saying, I'm not sure if you are who you really say you are. I am not sure if you can do what you said you can do. And that in itself goes against the whole nature of God. Let me put it this way. Things don't happen because you doubted God. Because there's a lot of people that doubted God, and God worked very hard to prove himself, like Gideon, 3 times. So your inability to trust and believe God most often does not stop God from doing what he can do and does not stop him from being God. So why doesn't it happen? Because you are responsible to making it happen. So well, faith, we said, is acting on God's word. Because of your doubt and my unbelief, I fail. to act on God's word. You following? It's not God who failed to act. It is me who failed to act on his word. So a lot of people that doubted God but still acted on his word, things happened. It is my inability to believe and to act on his word that stops me from saying it. Here's the thing about God. I've taught you about this before. You determine when God answers, how God answers. You remember in the Bible how many people Jesus said, go, it will be done as you have believed. It will be done as you. They set the regulator in how it was going to happen. So that woman says, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be well. That's what she believed. And she went, touched the hem of his garment like she believed, and she was healed exactly like she believed. Remember that? The centurion comes to Jesus and says, Master, there is no need for you to come to my house. I'm a man under command. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's what he believed. Here's a funny thing. When the centurion met Jesus and said that, Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house because Jairus, on the other hand, he believed if Jesus comes to my house, my daughter will be well. Two people within the same breath. One is believing if Jesus comes to my house, my daughter will be well. The other guy is believing Jesus doesn't need to come to my house. He just needs to say the word and my servant will be well. And both were right, and both received their miracle exactly the way they believed. The most annoying thing when I'm praying for sick people is those people that believe God will heal them next week. And there's plenty of them. You pray for them, check yourself. Ah, no, it doesn't have to happen right away. If you only knew how many times you hear that. It doesn't have to happen right away. Okay, so when do you like to happen? Maybe in the next few days. Okay, the Lord bless your faith. May you be healed in the next few days. And true to their words, they're healed in the next few days. Here's the thing. 2,000 years ago, he released it. Your attitude, your mindset determines how you get it. Probably dealing with the demonic in the deliverance is a lot more easier because I don't have to justify the word of God to them. I don't even have to explain scripture to the demon to get out. Because he knows he's got to get out. So, the thing is, can we act on God's word? That's faith. We cannot say we believe if we can't act on it. We cannot say we believe God if we can't act on what he says. It is taking God's word as face value. And this is a problem Isaiah grapples with as he tries to present the greatest news humanity has ever had. He begins with, "Who's believed our reports?" It's not that Jesus didn't die for our remission of sin. It's not just Jesus didn't die for our healing and deliverance. The issue is, who believes it? Following that, who's our believed our report? We could say, yeah, we've believed the report. But our everyday outworking in our lives is very contrary. We believe that God laid our sins upon him, so our sins are atoned for. But the same that report that we believe that our sins are atoned for is the same report that says you are healed. It is the same report that says by his stripes and those who you are, he's borne our griefs and our sorrow. It is the same that report. I found that to be probably one of the saddest opening in Isaiah 53. Who's believed our report? Because if we believe that report, we'll begin to act upon it. If we believe that report, we'll begin to walk in it. If we believe that report, it becomes a part of our Christian, not just confession, but practice. Faith is believing the word of God. Faith is acting on the word of God. My life's ambition is to pursue with everything within me anything and everything that I believe God is speaking to me. It's easy to pursue things that everybody agrees with or are popular with everybody. He's amazing. We find where ourselves, where we are, emotionally, spiritually, geographically, because of what we've believed and what we've acted on. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, we find ourselves where we are because of what we've acted on. So if we don't like where we are in any of those aspects, it's a good time to start reassessing. What are we believing and what are we acting on? Because nothing changes and we will begin to reverse our thoughts, our convictions, and what we act on. Does that make sense? I'd love to be one of those that would answer Isaiah, who's believed our report, and say, I have. So if his report says, by his stripes we are healed, who can believe that report? That it is so. He said it must be so. He said it, I'll believe it, I'll act on it. Most often, instead of acting on his word, we are waiting on him to do something. See, the trouble is most of the things we are waiting on him to do, he already did them 2,000 years ago. Most of the things we cry out to God, as far as God is concerned, they exist in past tense. And all it takes is you and I acting on them. It's amazing how the brothers, Andrew and them, heard John preach, heard John answer the Pharisees when they says, are you the one to come? And he says, no, I'm not the guy. I'm just a witness, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But the one that comes, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the fire and the Holy Spirit. And when that day came, he says, behold, the Son of God that takes away the sins of man. What's amazing about that is, of all the people that heard John say that, including John's disciples, kept following John, only Andrew left and followed Jesus. You heard the guy say, I'm not the one, but he's the one. And for some reason, only two acted on what John said. The rest of them failed to act on what John said. You saw how many people at the river. So it's like, John, You mean you are not the one? You came to prepare a word for the other one, and you must decrease so he increases. Thanks, John. Henry, go. Check it out. Faith is acting on the word. Hearing the word is not enough. We gotta act on it. What if, let's pretend for 1 minute, we all acted on God's word? What would that look like? Let's say the word is go here, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And then we decided to act on that. What would that look like? I know you tell me not every one of us is called to be a missionary or pastor. Some of us are called to be all that. We always have caveats and excuses for not acting on the word. Anybody feeling sick? Not well in the body? Just keep your hand up. All right. She's not well, he's not well, he's not well, she's not well over there. Just keep your hand up. And she's not. Now, here's the thing. Keep your hand up. You are told that those that believe in his name, they'll do what? They'll heal, they'll lay hands on the sick shall be healed and do all those things. Okay, is that what your Bible says? Do you believe that? Well, let me see you act on it. Go to the people that have got hands up and do exactly what the Bible says you're going to do. Come on, act on that word. This is time to begin to act up. Okay, let's do this. You had your hand up and some people have prayed for you. Is there any change, anything that has happened? Let me hear.
Yeah, I had a neck that is really painful to just move around this world when I came in.
What's happening?
And it is much, much better. About 98, 99%, sorry.
Hallelujah. Just act on the word. Any other things happening?
For a few days, if I went to stand up, I'd get a really bad, sharp pain in my back. Look, I'm standing without pain. I mean, it's tingy, but it's gone.
That's cool. Any other people? You've got a finger that locks up overnight. It's locked. So until you sleep, you can't. Amen. Any other people that were not feeling well and something changed? Okay. Let's just stand together.
Father, we thank you that you open the ears of our heart, open the eyes of our understanding, that we receive this word, that we receive this wisdom and revelation. Father, let it become living within us. Let it become alive in our spirit. Father, that as we begin to meditate and devour and eat up your word, and as we begin to speak it forth, like we were learning the other night, as we begin to declare it, but also, Father, let it become a part of us. Let it become a part of our heart nature, that with everything within us, it becomes who we are, that we cannot but believe it because it's who we are. Father, let it rise in our spirits today and let release our minds in the name of Jesus from every limiting factor. Father, let there be an opening and a swinging forth. Father, let today be the beginnings of the lights turning on for the areas that we need to begin to step and act and speak and become the word that you've spoken and released in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.